Martin banks it off. Sutter is up with it there. Right around in front. Score!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Leading goal scorer on the team. Drew one in front. Score!
It's the TC Martin Show.
A tie game on the power play. Hodgson was at the front of the net. They are even.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
A power play goal by the captain.
T.C. Martin.
It's brushed on back by Richard Park. Jump right up front. Yager fed it side of the net. Score! Giroux!
The doctor is now in.
Here we go. Yes, it is a Tuesday. It is definitely a terrible Tuesday edition of the T.C. Martin Show. We will get to vent our frustrations like we normally do each and every Tuesday. It is Game 7 tonight, 7 o'clock, SAP Center, San Jose. Who will be exiting after this? Will it be the San Jose Sharks, winners of the last two games? They win tonight. They make it three in a row. They advance on to the Colorado Avalanche. Or could it be your Golden Knights with a victory hosting game number one this weekend? Aha. We will find out all of that tonight. Man, Game 7, nothing like it in hockey. The handshake line will be going tonight. One of the great traditions in the NHL and in hockey, where at the end of a seven-game series, you line up afterwards, you swallow some pride, and you shake hands. So, and this has just been a nasty series all the way along for both squads, the Golden Knights, the San Jose Sharks. We heard Gerard Gallant earlier today at their press conference, throwing a little shade at Sharks head coach Peter DeBoer and others. Yeah. So we'll get into all that today and a whole lot more. NBA playoffs coming up tonight. Four games as well. A couple more closeout situations. We'll get into that. But as you know, it is a terrible Tuesday when we kick it off venting our frustrations.
It's terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
Odell Beckham speaks out. Well, not really. You know how all these athletes speak out today, as in Twitter. He responded to Giants GM Dave Gettleman, who thinks that Gettleman referred to him as a cancer in the locker room during his time with the New York Giants. So, as you know, Beckham was traded to the Cleveland Browns back in March, and Odell got word that the Giants general manager was talking a little trash, so he decided, I'm going to fire back. Not with one tweet, not two, not three, but with about six different tweets.
Twitter.
We will give you the highlights here. Now, I'm going to read you the Odell Beckham tweet.
Twitter.
Verbatim. Just to let you know that my grammar's okay.
Twitter.
Okay? I had plenty of schooling behind me. I'm not so much what Odell Beckham took at the University of Florida.
Better teach this kid some control before he kills somebody.
Man, so here it is. Odell Beckham via Twitter. Ask any one of my teammates of who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yes, I'm cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You like that? Boy, I emphasize bad with like three D's. That's what he did.
A D's?
Yeah.
Not just the A. But
bad.
Exactly.
No, that's what that'd be. Exactly. You are. I guess, you know, that's a millennial thing for you guys as well, too. Well, you're kind of millennial. You're semi-millennial.
I do it,
you're
too.
You're half millennial.
I do it, too, just depending on who I'm typing.
You're absolutely correct. Beckham goes on to say, we didn't sign him to trade him. He's referencing what Gettleman said. You don't get married to get a divorce. I tried my best. The situation I had been in since I got there never changed. We were still losing, period. All capitals, by the way. Money doesn't bring happiness, brother. Remember that. Beckham continued with another tweet. I gave them everything I had, bruh. Sunday. Just put some respect on my name. That's all I'm saying.
Put some spect on it.
I ain't saying nothing. And trust me, I got a lot. Capital letters with a lot of T's. Not talking about Ronnie either. A lot of T's. And a lot of info that people don't know about. So keep my name out your mouth the way I do y'all's. Ya dig? He goes on to say,
you heard?
I'm not upset in any way about where I landed, but out of respect, what they did was crazy and beyond disrespectful. I wanted nothing but the best for New York, but on to a new chapter. It's life. Now, you think as a Giants executive, you would just let that go, right? But I got to give a little credit to Gettleman because he says, I'm going to fire back a little bit. So here's what his tweet said.
Wait.
He said, let's talk then. Why didn't you straighten up after getting the dollars? And don't sit here and say that you did. Constantly bringing questionable statements, interviews, and actions into the locker room. We'll go down as one of the great Giants, but come on, bro. I like it. He's calling him, come on, bro. He says, they bet on you, then you made them look foolish. All right, here's the bottom line. Odell Beckham was traded for the same reason that Pittsburgh got rid of Le'Veon Bell, got rid of Antonio Brown. Yes, you're a cancer. Yes, you're a distraction. Yes, you're a diva. It's all about you. Nothing wrong with trading a player for those reasons, in my opinion. Go disrupt someone else's team. Go disrupt someone else's locker room. And OBJ wasn't happy when he got word that he was going to Cleveland, but now it's all good, right? Let's be honest. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland in any sport. Even though the Indians have probably had the most success. Of course, Cavaliers had some success with LeBron James. Okay. But you're bitching, you're moaning about New York because you didn't want to leave. And now Cleveland's your new home. You're happy to be there. It's garbage. We know it's garbage. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland. I reiterate, nobody wants to go to Cleveland. And people are thinking, wow, the Browns are going to be really good this year. Really? Well, let's wait on that. Okay, let's prove this. Let's see what Baker Mayfield does for a second year. Let's see what John Dorsey does. Let's see what happens with the coaching carousel that's been in Cleveland for all of these years. But back to Beckham and Gettleman and that fiasco that happened in New York. Yeah, I don't blame the Giants whatsoever. I'm fine with you having to trade an all-star player because you're not winning with him. You're not. Build from ground up, get the cancer out of the locker room, say goodbye, like I mentioned, just like the Steelers have done, just like many other teams have done in other sports. Get rid of that. You don't need that. That's my thoughts. You can chime in if you want, Nick Nice.
Well, I agree with what most you said as far as OBJ is, I'm pretty sure the son of his universe, he revolves around himself. So, and I would have gotten rid of him too, honestly, because you know you're going to be getting rid of Eli most likely here in the next year or two. I'm blanking on the running back, Saquon Barkley.
He's the best player on the roster. He's your franchise.
He's clearly the future. Yeah. So you need to start building around that. Start getting him a massive offensive line. Get an offensive line. Start building the line. We all know in football, it starts with your line, defense and offense. So if you can get a good line for him and then get a quarterback here, hopefully to sit the bench under Eli for the next year, I don't see why you wouldn't have gotten rid of OBJ, really.
No doubt. All right, so here's some more NFL news with your team, Nick Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Kicker Robbie Gould wants out of San Francisco.
Whatever.
He's been waiting for a new deal, and nothing has happened. 14 months of futile negotiations.
Get out of my car.
A lot of promises and nothing delivered by your San Francisco 49ers to one of the greatest kicker that ever has visited an NFL football field. Just ask the Chicago Bears about this.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the bottom line, and here's what Robbie Gould had to say. He goes, I'm unsure if I want to play there anymore. At this point, I have to do what's best for me and my family back home. Now, this is a very popular use of rhetoric by a lot of players saying, I'll do what's best for me and my family. But you know what Robbie Gould is saying here is, he's actually making a lot of sense, not just from the money aspect, but he's got three kids, and you can relate to this, all under the age of five. They all live in Chicago, getting ready to go to school in Chicago. He wants to get back to Chicago. If he can't get back with the Bears, at least somewhere close where he can visit his family. Doesn't like being in San Francisco and doesn't really like the organization. Now, GM John Lynch had this to say. Here's his quote. He goes, Robbie's going to be a part of us this coming year. I know that. We would like to have him here longer than that. We've made an attempt to make that happen. We haven't come to an agreement as of yet, and we'll see where that goes. But Robbie will be part of this team this coming year. We're excited for that because he's very good at what he does. He's also a big part of the team. You talk about two guys that are opposite ends of the spectrum here. Robbie Gould wants nothing to do with San Francisco, and John Lynch, who's franchised him, that's very strange too, to franchise a kicker, to put the franchise tag on him, saying, hey, he's going to be here. But we'll see how this thing portrays, but you got to take care of your kicker. I mean, he's your kicker. He is a vital part, but you never hear these type of negotiations going on with a kicker in a team. Why is it taking 14 months? You made the attempt to, and were successful in bringing him to San Francisco. You wanted to replace Phil Dawson. You did that. But then, and Gold's upset about this, and I got to side with him as well here too. Why is John Lynch feverishly negotiating with Steven Gostkowski of the Patriots and trying to bring him there when he's franchise Robbie Gould?
Well, it sounds like your typical dysfunctional marriage in any sort of sports franchise, right?
And with the Niners, it doesn't surprise you, does it? You're not like the Niners just as much as you do, but this modern version of the Niners we've seen over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, it's goofy.
I think Jed York has sort of taken a step back and kept his paws out of the meddling or whatever you want to say, but I really, as a fan of the 49ers, I don't care. Goodbye, Robbie. Peace. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, really.
He's just a kicker, right?
That's what I said earlier. I'm like, can kickers even do this? Does he realize he's a kicker?
NBA. All right. You know, the officiating has got to be at an all-time worst. And I'm not talking about just the calls here, because most people love to rip on NBA officials. And I'm going to give them a little taste of it here. But here's where I'm coming from, and not enough people are speaking up about it, okay? It is the players complaining. It has really gotten to NFL length now, where every possession just about, there is a foul called and the player is complaining. Coaches are complaining. But for me, it's the divas, it's the players. It's nonstop, almost every foul, especially here in the postseason, the playoffs. It is so bad, and I was so glad to see this, that now Doris Burke from ABC/ESPN, as well as Jeff Van Gundy on a separate broadcast, are actually speaking up about this. And we've never seen announcers speak up, and I'm very glad. Van Gundy said this over the weekend. He says, why are the refs taking so much? And great for Van Gundy to say that. Why are they taking all of this abuse? Because that's what they are. Players are in these referees' faces all the time now. And I would love to see a ref just step back and say, you know what? Shut up. Tee him up. Send them away, but you just see it when we see the close-ups where the players are just in the ref's face nonstop, and the refs are taking it. Why can't a referee just say, you know, go away, shut up, I've had enough of you, I called the foul? But instead, we get these long dissertations, we get these long conversations where the referee is listening, not so much talking back to the player, but engaging in these listening counseling sessions. And then we see the referees talking to the coaches, and of course the cameras are all over this during the course of free throws and during the course of play as well too. It's getting harder and harder to watch seeing these officials take this much abuse from players and coaches. Please clean up the game, because the NFL and the NBA are becoming just far too terrible in this department. And the inconsistencies are atrocious just as well, too. I'm going to give you an example. In the Rockets-Jazz game the other night, James Harden was fouled on a breakaway layup by McNeil for Utah. McNeil grabbed him, did not make a play on the ball, threw him to the ground underneath the basket. No play whatsoever was made on the ball. Drove him into the cameraman sitting underneath. And on top of that, he landed on him. And all of a sudden, we have to have a debate here, a good 4 or 5 minute debate, whether this is a flagrant foul or a common foul. They go to review. Referee Ken Maurer comes back and says, it's just a common foul. He was trying to hold him up. It just cracked me up. They showed the replay like 7 times, trying to hold him up. He went and swiped at him. He grabbed him, threw him down. If this was a high school or college wrestling meet, He would have been awarded two points for a near takedown. I believe it's 2 points for a near takedown. Lands on top of him, crashing the cameraman. Harden is shaken up here, and that is a common foul. But this is what we see in the NBA, the inconsistencies. It is crazy. It is nuts. And while I'm piling on the NBA, now I'm going to pile on interviewees. That's right, the interviewers that we have to listen to interview the coaches. You know, Greg Popovich has been great with this, and now a lot of the other coaches, they don't want to talk to these reporters in between quarters, but they have to because that's part of their television agreement with the NBA. Well, after the game, you know, the players really don't want to talk to the announcers either. All right, so here we go. We've got James Harden had a rough night at the office. He missed his first 15 shots for the Rockets. Now, the Rockets rallied back to win game 3 in Utah, and this interview took place with James Harden and Chris Paul.
James, a hard-fought win despite you going 0-15 from the field. Mentally. You didn't know that?
I'm 0-15.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. From the field, I don't remember.
Chris, what were you saying to him?
I went up to him right there in that timeout, and I said, get your swag up. You know how we play. We don't play that percentages. We don't look at how many shots you'd have missed or made. We put the work in. That's what you work all summer for, and we believe in him like we believe in Gerald and everybody on our team, and we keep playing and stay the course.
Mentally, what were you going through those first 3.5 quarters before you finally hit?
Nothing. I was aggressive. They were doing a good job of contesting my shots, and those shots that I shoot every single day, I'm going to live with them. Fourth quarter, they fell in. So, game four, nothing changes. I'm going to keep shooting.
Thanks, James. Chris, this was a battle. Where would you say the momentum is with this team?
Man, we're just trying to stay the course. We keep fighting. We talked about it at halftime. I had no clue James had shot that, but we just keep playing. And if he was open 15 at some point and we kept it close, then we knew we had a chance.
So, you guys are telling me the truth. You guys really didn't know or talk about the fact that he went 0-15 in this game?
Who knows that? Like, it's crazy. We don't play like that. Coach puts the utmost confidence in guys to keep shooting. Keep shooting, because at the end of the day, it's win the game. Don't matter what he shot, we won the game.
Thank you, Chris Paul, for that. This is true. When you're a player, you have no idea what your stats are. You have no idea that you are 3-12. You may be 8-15. And in Harden's instance, 0-15, he probably knew that he hadn't hit a shot. But he didn't know if it was 0-10, 0-12, 0-15. So for an announcer to sit there and think, like, how can you not know that? Yes, obviously you haven't played the game, you haven't been around the game, and this is irritating to me, because if you are around a basketball team, you know that the players don't know. They rarely know what their stats are. They have an idea where they are with points, because during a free throw, during a timeout, you're looking up the scoreboard and you can see how many points each player has, but it doesn't tell you your shooting percentage. It doesn't say that James Harden is 0-8, 0-10, 0-15. So, yeah, I believe it, that Harden and Paul's right. We don't talk about that stuff. They're focusing on every trip down the court, okay? What kind of defense they're in, who they're guarding, the switch, calling out the switches, offensively, what sets they're going to run. And just goes to show, when I hear announcers like this and I hear interviewers like this, it just goes to show you how disconnected they are with the game they're covering. Irritating, Nick Nice. Irritating.
I was just going to say, you know one sport that they do keep up on their stats? It's baseball. Yeah. Guys know if they're 0-4 in the game or if I have a no-no going.
Yeah, well, again, that's a little bit different. You only get four at bats.
But yes, of course. Yeah. I just...
It's on the scoreboard. Sure.
I do get what you're saying, though. Yeah. In basketball, where you're shooting 14 times, it's not like, did I make four of those or three of those? Or
one or two?
No, it's like, what's the scoreboard say, damn it?
Exactly. All right, more NBA news. Luke Walton being sued for sexual assault. TMZ reporter Kelly Tennant went to his hotel room after Walton was invited her to come over to drop off a book that he wrote the foreword for. Now, you know when this took place, by the way? This wasn't last week.
1974.
Not quite. I don't think he was born then. This happened when he was an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors under Steve Kerr. This happened 3.5 years ago. Now, when Walton asked her to come up to his hotel room, Walton reportedly began forcefully kissing her, pinned her against his bed. She claimed she screamed for him to stop and tried to free herself, but he held her down, groped her breasts and groin, rubbed his erection on her leg. She claims she was in shock and in fear, and she was afraid that she was about to be raped. Now, after that happened, Walton acted like nothing happened. He walked her out of her room, downstairs to her car, and that was it that Luke Walton said. Now, we find out that there were a couple other instances where she was working for the Sportsnet station in L.A., you know, covering the Lakers and the Clippers. And Walton apparently reports that he saw her on numerous occasions over the last couple years and made a couple comments and said to the effect that, oh, baby, that dress is really, you know, looking good on you, and it's got me going, and made some grunts and some noise. So this is all what we're hearing coming out of this lawsuit. So as you know, Luke Walton was just introduced as the Sacramento Kings head coach. And now the Kings had no idea about this. The Kings management now has to deal with this. My question is, and I understand that a lot of times this happens much after the fact, but why are we hearing about this for the first time now, 3.5 years later? I don't know. Don't want to make light of this, because these are serious allegations, and Luke Walton is in some serious trouble if this is all true here. But the timing of it all is rather strange. Could this be one of the reasons why the Lakers let him go?
Because they knew.
Because they knew that this could possibly be coming up. So Luke Walton, his attorney, not available for comment, but we'll have to keep a close eye on this situation here, as the new Kings head coach could be in some trouble. And if this stuff goes down, the Kings could be firing Luke Walton
before he even coaches the game.
Yeah, very true. So we'll have to keep an eye on this.
Real quick, this is obviously a very sensitive subject. The only thing I can think of back to is the Duke University. Was it the lacrosse team?
Lacrosse team, right.
And we should always reserve judgment until all the facts are out, until we really know what the story is. Because, and I'm not saying Luke Walton is guilty or he is innocent. All I'm saying is that we don't know what the woman did, because it takes two to tango. You know, I know there are guys who force themselves onto women. I don't know them personally. I'm just saying, I know guys do that. You know, you walk down the street, hey, baby, what's up? You know, it's like, really, God, does that work? You're an idiot. But at the same time, there are guys out there, they if they think a woman is flirting with them and they see an opening, they're going to go for it. You know what I mean? And she's coming up to his hotel room and that type of stuff. That sounds a little iffy to me. So yeah. I'm not saying, like I said, who's guilty and who's wrong. I just think that there's more to the story than we ultimately know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. To be continued with that. We'll keep an eye on that. Ha ha, Clinton Dix.
Ha ha.
Now with the Chicago Bears, signed a one-year deal. He was with the Redskins last year and, of course, drafted by the Packers, where he made plenty of money, as you know. Had a nice little signing bonus in Green Bay. Called out his alma mater, Alabama, for not giving him his diploma. Now, he owes money to his alma mater.
Oh, God.
He owes money to his school here. Now, let me tell you something. This is a standard practice where a school will hold back a diploma if they are owed some tuition or a player or student incurred some bills while they were at school there, right? How much money does Ha-Ha Clinton Dix owe the University of Alabama?
I'm going to say like $40,000.
You're thinking that, right? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, $400,000.
You would think so. Nope. I'll just give you the clue, Nick Nice. What did Mortimer owe Randolph?
A dollar?
$1. Now, come on, Nick. Let's get the dollar out. We gotta do the sound effect. We gotta do from the movie, from your favorite movie here.
I don't have any cash.
You got the sound effect? Okay. $1.
$1. Mortimer.
Even though this is a five. But yeah, Mortimer and Randolph. And then who also played that same trick in that movie?
Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
There you go. Billy Ray, right? Yeah. Billy Ray and Winthorpe.
Ha ha, Clinton Dix really owes the University of Alabama a single dollar.
A single dollar, and they will not give him his diploma. Now, here's Ha ha, Clinton Dix's tweet. I owe $1. I can't believe y'all holding my degree for 100 pennies. I thought I didn't graduate. Y'all dead wrong, University of Alabama, for doing your boy like this.
Pay that man his money.
That's what I'm looking for, Teddy KGB. Exactly. Can I get Teddy KGB one more time? I love that.
That man, his money.
I miss you, Nick Nice.
He tripped me.
How about this? How about Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, you pay the $1? How about that? How hard is that? If someone's going to hold back your diploma, you pay the man his money. You cough up the $1. Are you kidding me? He just signed a one-year deal with the Chicago Bears for what, Nick? $3.5 million. Pay Alabama the $1. Get your diploma FedEx to you. Put it on your wall. Do whatever you got to do with it. But don't sit there and complain that you owe a dollar. It's the university's fault? Are you kidding me? Pay the dollar and be done with it.
How does he even owe a dollar? Where do you... Like, all right, so let me see. Like, checking my student loans, I owe about $4,000. I'm going to pay about $3.99. But so, like, how do you get to leaving just a dollar balance?
Well, first of all, you're a scholarship athlete, so you really don't have any bills. Your tuition's paid for. Your books are paid for. Your meals are paid for. But it was probably something along the lines where, above and beyond all of those freebies he had, he went to the snack machine. You know, he went in the student union or something and whatever.
Here at Lotus in the kitchen area, we have an IOU for the snacks.
There you go. Exactly. I don't know. Maybe Danielle is on Ha Ha Clinton Dick and said, yo, a dollar. It's no big deal. Hey, will somebody pay the guy the dollar?
If I'm Ha Clinton Dix, though, it's a matter of, I guess, principle is the word here or whatever it is.
But is it really? For a dollar, you're a professional athlete. You got a free education. You got a $3.5 million a year deal. You've had that deal. You had a $7 million signing bonus with the Packers back in 2014. Are you kidding me? Why would you want to put Alabama through this? I don't care, principal or not. Now, you're right. If it was more money or something like that, but... See, I'm taking the opposite approach. I'm saying pay the dollar and be done with it.
Yeah, stop being petty, I guess.
Exactly. All right, I'll leave you on this, my friend. All right, SF Man, another San Francisco guy, you'll like this, Nick, is accused of bilking the Minnesota Vikings out of about $70,000 in a luxury suite scam. He signed a contract to rent a suite for the September 8th game last year against the 49ers, which he attended in Minneapolis. His check of $37,000 bounced. He said he would send checks for that game as well as other games that he purchased, including a September 23rd game against the Buffalo Bills. Why anybody would want to go see that game, I have no idea. Both those games. But anyway, the matter of the point is this. Those checks were for $35,000, $190,000, and guess what? They bounced as well. Upon further review, prosecutors were looking and they said they found out this guy did the same thing in leasing a luxury apartment in Minneapolis. They said his whereabouts are unknown. A warrant is out for this guy's arrest. But here's my point. I'm going to take the other side here. If you're the Vikings, why are you taking checks? Who takes checks anymore? Barely grocery stores don't take checks. Who takes checks for tickets and suites? And why isn't this taken care of before game day when you purchase the tickets, right? You're purchasing a suite for whatever, $70,000, $37,000, whatever the number is. How is this getting to this point where it's 6 months later and you're finding out, well, this guy bounced checks on us? Why don't you make the guy pay either cash or a credit card? Who's taking a check here? Come on, Vikings. I'm confused here.
Apparently you can run scams on the Minnesota Vikings. Apparently they're idiots up there.
Crazy. All right. Chris Sale, he pitched today for the Red Sox, and he remained winless. 0-4 on the season. But today he had a little bit better of a day. He gave up 2 earned runs in 5 innings. He did have 10 strikeouts, so good for Chris Sale. And today he lowered his ERA to 7.43. It was 8.50 last week. And after this disastrous start that Chris Sale has been on, being winless, he actually had this to say last week.
It sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you're going good, it's good. When you're going bad, it's pretty bad. So, you know, hey, show up tomorrow, put on the shoes, and get back after it.
I like it. I like that he said that he stinks right now. How many times do you hear an athlete put it on themselves and say, you know what? I stink right now. No excuses. He can admit it. I love that. I love hearing that. That's awesome. Way to go, Chris Sale. And, you know, he'll get it back together. Today, he pitched well enough to win. taken on after five innings, but he did have 10 strikeouts. But saying you stink, I like that. I wish more people would say they stink when they do something wrong instead of blaming somebody else. Say, I stink, all right? I stink for owing my university a dollar. Pay the man his money.
Pay that man his money.
How about you, Nick Nice? Can you say you stink when you screw up here?
No, it's pretty much everybody else's fault. Clearly not mine.
I'm with you, man. It was a terrible Tuesday. You got terrible Tuesday thoughts? Hit us on Twitter at TCMartin21 and Fox Sports LV. We come back. We start previewing Game 7 tonight. Golden Knights, San Jose Sharks, your thoughts, your phone calls. Jump on board, 876-1340. Who's got Game 7 tonight?
TC Martin.
I'm ready to go in, coach. Just give me a chance.
The doctor is now in.
Brownsville.
All right, it's hyped up. It's ready to go. SAP Center tonight, SAP Center, Shark Tank, whatever you want to call it. Vegas Golden Knights, San Jose Sharks, game number 7. My man Chris Chapman, he's hanging around a hotel buffet line somewhere, I think. What's going on, Chapman? What do you got? I told you I want the food report. Break it down. Breakfast, lunch, and soon to be dinner.
All right. Well, breakfast I ate at the airport in Las Vegas, so nothing fancy there. And then I had a scone and some orange juice at the SAP Center. But lunch, I hit up a vegan spot that was referred to me by Ryan.
You finally came through with Ryan the hockey guy's advice here, huh? Okay.
I follow through, and I will say this. I really don't know a lot about vegan food. I will say it was very good. I got it was a burger with mac and cheese on top of it with some vegan bacon. Vegan bacon I could do without. Mac and cheese was really good, but the highlight was the s'mores pie. Easily one of the best pieces of pie I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
I didn't even have to think about it. It was that good.
There you go. That doesn't qualify as non-vegan or vegan. That's just beautiful.
So I got my feelings hurt now, buddy. I mean, you'll take Ryan the hockey guy's vegan place.
I gave him a bad time on the show yesterday. I had your back, Nick.
I could only go to one, and I figured I'd go for lunch, so I'd go get the vegan burger for lunch.
All right, man. So there you go. You probably still don't know what you actually put in your stomach, except for the small
time. I know it was probably soy and tofu.
All right. Real quick, give us the Gerard Gallant press conference a couple hours ago when he was calling Sharks coach Pierre DeBoer a clown.
Well, it was interesting because the comments of DeBoer came out yesterday where he basically had said that Gallant had been talking a lot during the series and chirping at his players. And, you know, my initial thought was, well, I'm sure it's being twisted. I'm sure Gallant was probably yelling at the refs and he was upset with the way that Couture reacted after taking that high stick. And sure enough, that's what happened. Gallant said he was yelling at the refs and he never would yell at Couture. He didn't yell at Couture. And I figured, look, San Jose is kind of embellished a little bit in the series. Their guys have been running their mouths a lot. So I'm not surprised that this thing got out the way it did. But I think Gallant handled it well. I mean, look, honestly, I have no issue with him calling DeBoer a clown. I think it's kind of funny. It adds a little more intrigue and a little more intensity to the Game 7 tonight. But, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, I had said, you know, I want to ask him, but I didn't want to ask him in this situation because it's a Game 7. I didn't really feel it was relevant in a Game 7, but someone else decided to ask it, and I thought we got some pretty interesting stuff out of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it seems like from the perspective of the good guy, bad guy, the heel versus the baby face, the heel are definitely the Sharks here. I mean, they have been the aggressor for the most part, antagonistic, all of that stuff here. And the Knights have just kind of said, hey, you know, forget about the chirping, which I think is great. And they're still a relatively young team, but they have been here before. They went all the way to Stanley Cup Final. I don't think this stuff is going to get to them.
Yeah, and I kind of like what Gallant did as well because he kind of took the pressure off his team, right? Like, it's all on him now. So these guys can go out and play their game. And you know, at the end of the day, Gallant's going to be the one who takes the heat for making those comments if they lose. If they win, he'll give the praise to all his players because that's what he does. He's going to say, hey, these guys went out there and played the game. It had nothing to do with my words. But if they lose, then he'll take the heat for that. Say, look, you know what? I said what I said, and I think that'll be that. But, you know, it's certainly shaping up to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I feel a little bit better today than I did yesterday. Like yesterday, I was pretty adamant about the fact that I thought the Golden Knights were going to get rolled. I'm not so sure they win, but I don't think they get rolled tonight. Talking to those guys, they're pretty excited for the game, and
they're loose.
I think they're ready,
and they're pretty loose too. Don't you get that feeling?
I did get the feeling. You know, they are pretty loose. They've had a couple guys who've been here before. Most importantly, Marc-Andre Fleury. Just 2 years ago, we shut out the Capitals in the Eastern Conference Finals in a Game 7 to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, which his Penguins eventually won. So I don't really think these guys are too nervous about it. You know, I think the fans are probably more nervous than the players.
All right.
Seem like they're excited.
Have a good one, Mags. Enjoy. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow, man.
Yeah, be back tomorrow, and hopefully in a couple weeks we're talking about my trips to Colorado.
There you go. All right, man, take care. There he is, Chris Chapman in San Jose. He'll have sound and all kinds of stuff for us tonight. Don't forget, 6:30, Lindo Michikan, the pregame show. Get over there and see Frank and Ryan, the hockey guy, Wallace. Face off 7 o'clock tonight. You can hear it right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home of the Vegas Golden Knights, right here, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. JT the Brick is going to have some more coming your way for the next couple hours. TCMartinShow.com, that's where you go if you miss any part of this show. Have yourself a good one tonight. Game 7, it's going to be huge. We'll recap it here tomorrow at 3:00.